Matt is on the phone. Looks like more likely we got Julius Wingate next on our airways. 10:29, so a little early. The former Stony Brook wide receiver, Julius Wingate. Jim Furtzman here, Julius. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
All right, Julius. Thank you so much for your time. I know it's a little late, but just want to really start off after senior year, you getting an opportunity to play with the Kansas City Chiefs in training camp. What was that experience like? And when you found out you accepted that offer, what went through your mind?
Oh, man. After my senior year, again, the whole opportunity, you know, to showcase my talent and everything, getting that Kansas City Chiefs, that opportunity to go there for minicamp was a blessing, to say the least. You know, it's a whole long process going through, you know, pro day training, you know, 6 days a week training, you know, 3 times a day, a lot going into that, going through the whole pro day, going through the whole draft process and everything. You know, after that, it's like, you know, you're in like a dead zone, I would say, you know, not knowing like what's going to happen next.
I feel you.
And all of a sudden, like, you get like a phone call from the Kansas City Chiefs staff, you know, trying to talk to you, telling you, you know, they're going to fly you out to Kansas City to compete for a mini camp. You know, like, my heart started jumping, started racing, you know, told my family, to my mom, to my brother. Actually, like, my brother was there when they had called.
Rightfully and, you know, so.
And like my whole reaction was like, you know, just, it was crazy. Like, I started crying after, you know. And how just going up? Oh, go ahead.
How long were you through the mini camp?
I was there for, I would say, 3 days. I got there Thursday and left Sunday. 3-4 days. Yeah.
All right. And did you get to meet Tyreek Hill? You got to meet Patrick Mahomes? Any of those players?
Nah, I wish. We was there. It was only the rookies there, really.
Okay.
But on my last day there, I seen Sammy Watkins there, and I seen Tyrann Mathieu when he first had came, you know, because he got traded to the Chiefs.
That's
and everything.
Right. Yes, yep. He did.
So the last day, we like that Sunday after practice and everything, we're in the locker room changing. I'm walking by, and like I seen like a blonde, like, you know, like a little mohawk. I'm walking by, and I see it, but I'm like, you know, I ain't like that thing. Like, I ain't like that think much of it. I keep walking by. I double take. I'm like, that's Tyrann Mathieu right there.
That's the honey badger, baby.
That's the honey badger right there. I'm like, oh man, like, you know, it really hit me right there. Like, you know, I'm in the league right now. You know, I'm with the best of the best.
That's great to hear. You know,
yeah, it's crazy, man.
All right, and you know, obviously, more than likely, what are you doing now? Especially outside Stony Brook, being an alum, 1 year out, how's it feel?
You know, it feels, I would say, the real world hits you.
Yes,
you know,
no, it hit me for sure.
Real world definitely hits you, but, you know, I'm taking it step by step, you know. I'm still training. I'm still staying in shape.
Okay.
I'm still working out daily, you know. I have a little job now with Amazon. It's like a little part-time job just to get some money in my pocket. But other than that, I'm still, you know, I'm still an NFL hopeful. I'm still a free agent, and I'm still, like, staying in shape, waiting for a call.
Yeah, and I'm still a broadcast hopeful too, so we're remain optimistic in that aspect too. So I went back into your background, Dwight Morrow High School in Jersey, and yes, you also have a track and basketball background as well. But why football, Julius?
That's a good question. Growing up, I did track also. And but football and basketball were like my two main passions growing up when it came to sports. And I was, you could ask people about me. I was a pretty good basketball player as well. But what really separated from like me from like basketball and football was that my freshman year of high school, I had broke my ankle.
Wow.
And I broke my ankle playing football actually. And like, I didn't play my freshman year. So like by the time I came back my sophomore year playing basketball, I wouldn't say like I wasn't the same, but like the passion for it like wasn't like always there. I played, like, came back playing a new position. I was a point guard. I first came back playing like a power forward, whatever.
Did you get any growth spurt in high school too, or you remember?
I definitely did. Eighth grade, I was about, I'd say 5'8".
Okay.
By the time I was a freshman in high school, I was like 6'2". So that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, that's a big step for sure.
I was like pretty tall, but yeah, that 1 year was like the big difference right there.
All right, so I'm gonna tell you something pretty crazy. Well, I wouldn't say pretty crazy, but I'm at the gym last week, and I'm looking at the distance, and I see some guy wearing a Stony Brook football T-shirt, and it was actually Joe Carbone, and I'm like he came up to me and said, "Hey man, what's going on?" He goes, "You look good," because you know I'm in the gym, you know I'm trying to get bigger, and I'm like. Isn't he from Connecticut? I'm like, what is he doing in Lake Grove in Long Island? And I just want to know. Right after his sophomore year, his junior year, he turned it around completely, and that's when you redshirted your junior year. But what was the chemistry like? Because we haven't really discussed this. What was the chemistry like the senior year? You having those 6 touchdowns, 40 grabs, 556 receiving yards. Leading the charge, that chemistry between you and Carbone, what describes that, especially in Kenneth P. LaValle Stadium?
Wow, that's a great question as well. Me and Joe, we always had a good chemistry. Like, we always work out in the summertime, go out there and put in, like, the extra time in the summertime. Mm-hmm. But what I really think, like, really clicked for us was going into that senior year. It started, like that springtime, and like, during spring ball, I finally had, like, a healthy – spring ball season. But they usually like have like back like hamstring issues all the time, like in the past. But this spring I had probably like my best spring, like going to my senior year. Rightfully so, I'm a senior, but like I stayed healthy the whole entire time, and me and Joe had a great chemistry that whole entire spring. And from there we just took it on to the summertime, as always, stayed healthy, put in extra work through the summertime. And by the time the year came around, I'll say probably like around that first, the second home game versus Richmond.
Yeah,
you know, it just clicked. You know, they needed a big game out of me because I had to step up through injuries off by other players, and you know that chemistry always been there, but it just you know it finally came to fruition, and man, from there it's history. I would say honestly, because after that Richmond game, me and him just started clicking like on and on and on, and when the coaches started like trusting us more and more. But the season, more opportunities came, and I just say made the most of my opportunities.
Okay, and obviously this is going to be your first year back, first year out of Stony Brook, and also it's Joe Carbone no longer there too. But if we had to say the starting quarterback for this upcoming season, more than likely will be Tykel Fields. Now, what should we expect from a full-time quarterback in Tykel Fields, who can be very mobile and has a bullet for an arm as well?
Bullet for arm is an understatement. But Tykel, he's going to, I would say, expect a lot from him. It's going to be his first year, you know, under the belt as a full-time QB1.
Yep.
He's been working his ass off, see my words, but working his ass off for a long time now. And Tykel, given the opportunity, he's going to flourish for sure. He has people on his team, you know, that he knows from high school. You know, he's a great leader. Say first of all, he has great legs, as you know, like many people know. Great arm, and just having that time at being QB1 since last winter, you know, last game of the season, a little bit experienced there. The whole springtime, the summertime, it's gonna flourish. It's not gonna be a big year for Stony Brook football, offensive wise, defensive wise, and the whole team, but definitely for the offense.
Yeah, do you wish you were back on the field for the homecoming game when Stony Brook plays James Madison?
Man. Oh my God, come on, let me ask that kind of question, man. I wish I was playing right now.
Yeah.
But that game next year versus James is gonna be a crazy game to say the least. Crazy atmosphere. Probably the best homecoming in recent years to say the least. Us versus JMU, two top dogs in the CAA.
Yeah,
we're supposed to bring that home for sure.
And when you since you redshirted your junior year, you didn't get a chance to go one-on-one with Jimmy Moreland, correct?
I did this past year, actually. This past year.
And now he's in the NFL, so.
Yeah, I would say definitely he was probably, I said before, he's like the best corner I played this year. He's little, but he's very crafty. And he does like little tactics to, you know, to get his way. And, you know, we had a good little battle, I would say. The last game at JMU last year on their homecoming, you know, I got mine, he got his. After the game, like it was like all respect after the game, you know. but he's a very good player, at least.
Yeah. And coming out of high school at Dwight Morrow High School, according to ESPN, just outside the top 100 at 108, actually, a three-star recruit coming out of Jersey. How are you feeling coming out of high school? Did you feel that you could have done better, or you were pretty confident?
Oh, I was highly confident in myself coming out of high school. I was highly recruited. Like, it doesn't show, really, because, like, what happened, like, my process of recruiting, but I was highly recruited.
I was seeing
schools, like coming, like in and out, like, every day during high school. But coming out, I was a two-way player. I played offense and defense. I actually came to Tony Boat to, you know, like, Coach P gave me the option to play offense or defense. Honestly, when I came to Stony Brook, and I chose offense. And going back, I think I probably would have chose defense, you know, because our defense was a top five, top 10 in the FCS every single year, like year in, year out. But, I mean, I was highly confident in myself coming in as a freshman. I told everyone that, like I'm not redshirting, you know, I'm going to be a player right away, you know. I had that kind of mindset, not cocky, but like very confident of myself and like my skills and my talent. And that's what happened. I came in and I did play right away. You know, I was playing with Will Ty, Adrian Coxon, Jarvey Level,
Ray Bolden.
And, that was before Ray had came. Ray came our sophomore year.
Yeah,
okay. Our freshman year, it was Stacey Bedell. He was his first year there. Coker, Kenner. We had a lot of great players there, great, like, big names there. Ochi. Defense was, it was straight, like, big-time players all around the defense.
I thought the last two years defense has been really scary with Chris Cooper, Tyrese Beverett,
Trey, Darren Peart, I can name Noah McGinty, Shane Lawless. We had people all around. Like, these past 2 years, we had straight... It was so fast. The defense was so fast and so athletic, I would say, these past 2 years. Like, yeah, I redshirted that year. That defense was very, very fast, very scary.
No, it. I mean, if I was an opposing offense, I would be terrified. I'd be terrified.
Yeah, I get that.
All right, so I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit, Julius. So I'm going to go with relationships with coaches. I'm going to put up with what was the relationship like with Coach Priori, alongside comparing with your relationship to Coach Caleb Haynes, the wide receiving coach?
Coach Page and Coach Priori. Oh, Coach Priori, we had a up and down relationship, you know, because coming in as a freshman, immature, I would say, you know, and it started off the best. You know, I got on his bad side a little bit every now and then, but as I matured and got older, you know, me and him became really good friends. He's a great guy. And my receivers coach that I had, Coach Page, he's a great guy as well. Me and him clicked since day one. He first came into the program when he was there. You know, nothing but love for Coach Page and everything. I would say I was closer to Coach Page because I was there with him every single day, meeting rooms and everything like that. But, you know, I have a good relationship with both of the coaches.
Now, what would you say was the highlight for you last year? Was it the Villanova game where you had two touchdowns, or was it the Southeastern Missouri State game where you had eight catches, 143 yards?
Oh, man. If I had to choose the highlight, it's tough. I would say that Richmond game, having, like, my first touchdown.
Okay.
That was, like, a real big, like, moment for me because, you know, I waited so long and I worked so hard. But, you know, like, my biggest performance that I would, like, look back onto, definitely the Southeast Missouri game, the playoff game. I feel like I had, like, easy matchups all around. I catch the ball at will. You know, at first half, I had, what, six catches for over 130 in a touchdown?
Yep.
Yeah, I feel like that was probably, like, my highlight of the year. It came easy that game. You know, me and Joe was clicking on a whole different level that game. Fighting through adversity with, like, all the injuries that we had. Like, at the receiver position, and me, you know, putting on that performance, that's probably definitely the highlight.
And that was a tough game, too, because that's when Don Leontine suffered that gruesome leg injury, too.
Oh, man, yes.
Late in that game. And I know, I don't believe if Joe got hurt, but I believe he got pulled in the game. I don't remember it completely, but I know
it was
that,
like a like a mild concussion kind of thing.
Yes, yes, it was a concussion injury. That's right. So then Tykel Fields took over. And
Tykel came in the game. Yep.
But alongside that, you know, playing alongside Marshall Elick too, another player who was got a rookie minicamp. Cal Daniels, another one, along with Jordan Gowans, who got a rookie camp with the Giants.
We had Jordan Gowans, the Giants, Don Lee team with the Vikings. We had Marshall with the Eagles.
Yep.
You had me, the Chiefs. You had Big John. Well, I call him Big John.
John Haynes.
Yes, sir. You call him Big John. With the Redskins, I'm pretty sure. It was quite a few, but I'm probably missing some.
Cal Daniels was with Minnesota.
Yeah, he's also there. Yeah, Cal Daniels, he's the All-American himself. It was like about like 8 or 9 of us all together. We had a special group of talent our senior year. You know, people might not have seen it all around, but, you know, we all dominated like our positions. And like when the time came, we all made plays. Marshall, he didn't get hurt that Albany game. He was a great player as well. He dominated on the other side of the ball with me. Cal, that speaks for himself, Mr. All-American Cal. He's Mr. Reliable. You know, does his job day in, day out, game in, game out. Joe, Don Leatin, and Jordan Gowans, that two-headed monster, the running back, was just ridiculous last year.
That was ridiculous, yes.
The Long Island Express, man. Yep. It was special.
But then you had the deep threat with you and Elick too.
It's crazy, yeah. We had some players last year. Me, Marshall, and you know, Nick Anderson.
Nick Anderson too. Yeah.
He got hurt sadly, but him and Trent, he got hurt also.
Yep.
Like we had four receivers, 6'1" or taller, right there. Then you got my boy Don Washington with the slot work. Yeah, we had some players last year, man. Say the least. Deep threat, me and Marshall. Yeah, but Marshall, he was going to get it. Every time I wasn't doing it, he was doing the other side of the ball.
I remember I was doing the engineering. I was engineering for Matt. Matt took the drive to Towson, and that is when Elick caught that 62-yard touchdown down the field in the rain too. And that's when I knew Marshall Elick has potential to do a lot of good things going down the line in Stony Brook. We saw that too. And he ended up getting himself a minicamp with the Eagles, so he did well for himself as well.
Marshall was very explosive. Because we had two great running backs, you know, and Don Leantine and Jordan Gowans. We know deep down inside, I wish we would throw the ball more all the time as well, you know. Because, you know, we had Marshall who could do great things, as you can see, and me as well. And, you know, Marshall, he got the Eagles camp invite, and he deserved it, you know. He's a very explosive type of player. He's just stronger than what it seems. He's stronger than me, to be honest with you. He's benching 20 plus reps on the 225.
Yeah.
You know, he's fast at that also, you know. Marshall's a great player. Very electric.
Hey, that's what I saw too. And you also being from Jersey, two players I think of, you being from Englewood and Jameel Warney being from Plainfield. How far away are you two as far as, like, towns are concerned when it comes to Jersey?
Jameel, me is probably a 30-minute drive, 30, 35 from Plainfield. That's big, bro. I mean, Jameel, I was here with him. I was a freshman. He was a senior. You know, he won his crazy campaign over there.
Only a half hour away.
Yeah, it's not ain't that far. He's like Central Jersey. No, in Jersey terms, it's like North Jersey, Central Jersey, and then South Jersey is like Delaware. We consider that, but like you know, he's like Central Jersey. He's probably like 35 minutes away. Nothing too crazy. Cause Jersey, it's not that big, you know.
Did you guys, since you both went to Stony Brook, obviously, did you guys know each other in high school or not?
Oh no, I didn't know about Jameel in high school, but his basketball team, Plainfield, they're always a state contending team, like year in and year out.
Yeah, Rizal Catholic.
I mean, I probably, both of those teams are they're state teams, like competing like year in and year out. So you know, I thought like I didn't know him, but I probably like they definitely heard about like his teams, like all the time. You know,
well, you heard he just signed a deal, to play basketball in Korea.
He did.
Yes, he did. about a couple of days ago. He's going all the way overseas again.
Again, Jamil, yes. in my honest opinion, Jamil deserves a shot at the league, especially like right now with like how the NBA is, small ball, you know. And Jamil is he's not small, don't get me wrong.
No.
He's a great power forward size, and I feel like he's a hope that this isn't like hurt his feelings, but he's like a Draymond Green type of player. He can run the point, bring the ball up, great passing skills. He could also shoot.
That was the one thing. He developed his shooting a lot he was with the Texas Legends, and now with
Texas
the West
Legends,
with the Westchester Knicks too. I just don't see why the Knicks wouldn't give him a shot after the 10-day contract.
I don't understand either. He in college, he was the most efficient player in history of college basketball behind Zion, whatever. But
that's a true stat. Yeah,
a true stat. Most efficient player in college basketball. Then went to the Texas Legends. It was over there. He was balling out over there over there in Texas. Over there balling out.
18 and 11 a game.
It's Mr. Efficient. It's so crazy. Like, even over there as a pro, he was still efficient. That's how he was in college. And I have a crazy story. I played against him in the rec one time freshman. It's like a little pickup game we had during like the off-season. It was like the basketball players, they roughed up with the football players that, you know, that used to play basketball in high school, you know. And I had to guard Jamil. And, you know, I'm like, 6'4". He's like 6'7", about 250, however big he was. And I'm thinking, you know, he's going to like give me like a little post-game, all game long. He's bringing the basketball up, crossing over, shooting from like 30 feet away. And just going crazy. I'm like, yeah, he's a different type of player. Like, I see him on the basketball court. That's all good and well. But a pro player is a pro player. And Jamil Warren is a pro player. He's all advertised, you know. He's advertised. He's a legit.
He's got the body. He's the height and weight of LeBron James, which is scary. The exact height and weight. 6'8", 260.
260, oh, my God.
Yeah. And that really hasn't changed since his senior year. That's how well and disciplined he has been, especially with his conditioning and how well he stays in shape. But before I let you go, Julius, just a couple of questions left. Let's go back to Stony Brook football. And obviously you being away, not too far away from the campus, maybe like 2 hours, not even.
Not even that, yeah.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to most with this 2019-2020?
Oh, man, the thing I'm looking forward to most this upcoming season. Honestly, I'm looking for them to dominate every game year in. I mean, game in and game out, because they have a lot of talent this year also. People think, like after our senior class just left, it might be a downfall maybe. But honestly, it might be one of the best years. It might even be a better year than last year, in my opinion, because I don't want to give too much away. But, I mean, I'm guessing, you know, about...
Hey, that's why you're on the show.
You know, like, have a two-headed running back monster, again, attack coming up for sure. You have Nick Anderson, my boy Trent, at receivers again, you know, on the east side of the ball. They're going to go crazy, of course. Tyker, the quarterback, the O-line is coming back for the most part. They're going to be, the offense will be scary. Like I said, it's going to be scary. With Tyker at quarterback, he's like very mobile as well. It's going to be scary to say the least. And on defense, you got two shutdown corners on each side of the ball. You got Gavin Heslop. He's going to, hopefully he catches the ball this year. I hope he hears me. Hopefully he catches the ball this year.
Yeah.
But Gavin is a draft pick, in my opinion. He's going to be great. TJ, Young Savage right there. He's going to be locked up this year as well. TJ is up and coming. He's going to be an all-conference player this year. The defense is – people might consider them young, but they're going to be good. Sam and everyone. It's going to be scary in my opinion. They should be undefeated in my opinion. I've seen the schedule not too long ago. And in my opinion, they could do it this year. They could be – CAA champions. You heard it here first, in my opinion.
All right. I like that. So do you think they can take care of the non-conference schedule? What about Utah State?
Utah State is actually a really good football team.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, that's FBS.
I mean, like we've played like these D1 schools these past couple of years, and you know we go there. I mean, other than last year, but like we went down to Florida the year before that and competed, and in my opinion, should have won that game. So I don't see why not this year upcoming with the right game plan and the right, you know, maybe people like making plays, which they will, to play Utah State and not go in there with the mindset that they should win, you know?
Because
I mean, they're good, but we're good as well. We're in the best conference in the CAA, best FCS conference in the nation. We can go to Utah State and not, you know, feel sorry for ourselves. We don't go in there and right mindset, I must say, with a victory.
You weren't too far away from Utah State last year when you guys took a pretty bad loss to Air Force.
Oh, man. Tell me about it. I don't even want to think about that game. But Air Force was – I didn't play that much that game, sadly. But, you know, just – I don't know what really happened that game. We just didn't come out ready to compete, I guess I would say. Wrong game plan, whatever it was. But, I mean – that's the past. Past is the past. Can't change that now, you know. And then going next year, like learning from that game, I would say, and just learn from that game and just make sure that it doesn't happen again this upcoming year versus Utah State.
I'm excited. We're all excited. We'll see what happens down the road. And we hope to see you against James Madison at Kennepe LaValle Stadium in the upcoming weeks.
Come on, man. You know I'm in there. I might throw a helmet on for that game, to be honest with you.
All right.
I'll definitely be there for sure.
All right, great. All right, Julius Wingate, thank you so much for your time on the sports section, and we'll talk to you soon. Definitely stay in touch, and thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. And that was former Stony Brook wide receiver Julius Wingate on our airwaves.